Amen. So Proverbs chapter 4, we're going to come back a little bit later, but if you would, turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter number 32. Deuteronomy chapter number 32. I want to preach a message tonight entitled, Forsake the Froward. Forsake the Froward. And again, that's not forward, that's froward. F-R-O-W-A-R-D. And that's not a term that we're really familiar with today. In fact, a lot of people will read that word in their Bible and they'll have some misconceptions about what that word means. And I think it's important that we understand what it means because, as we'll see tonight, the Bible, and especially in the book of Proverbs itself, warns us a great deal about froward people or being a froward person or being, you know, someone who exhibits the trait of frowardness, if you will. And really, people will, again, kind of choke on that word. So let me just begin the sermon by helping us to understand what it means. Now, if we go to a dictionary, the word froward simply means being willfully contrary or not easily managed. Being willfully contrary or not easily managed. So basically, this is somebody who likes to go against the grain, somebody who likes to do the opposite of what they're told, who likes to just be contrary for being for contrary's sake. They just want to, you know, be a rebel. They just want to go against the grain. They want to buck the system, which makes them somebody who is not easily managed. There's people who, because they pride themselves on going against the rules and not falling in line, that makes them a very difficult person to manage. That's basically what the word froward means. And you'll see that here in the scripture. I believe once you kind of have that understanding, you'll see that fleshed out, so to speak, in the scripture. It says there in Deuteronomy chapter 32, where you are, verse 20, "And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith." So this is the very first use of that word in Scripture, that word froward. And it's describing here, this is God speaking, and he's describing a certain group of people. And he says of this people that they are froward, that they are children in whom there is no faith. And if we know anything at all about this group of people that he's referring to, that group of people that was brought out of Egypt and into the wilderness, we know that they did a lot of, there was a lot of rebellion, there was a lot of complaining. That is why God is describing them as a froward generation. They were faithless, they didn't fall in line, they didn't believe God. They were even at times talking of stoning Moses. There was a lot of upheaval, there was a lot of people trying to overthrow the God-ordained leadership. Why? Because they were willfully contrary. They were not easily managed. They were a froward people. So once you kind of have that understanding of the dictionary definition, you can kind of see how it's being used in Scripture and how both are lining up, how both the dictionary definition and the Bible's use of the word line up, okay? And again, he's describing this generation as being very froward, and they were a willfully contrary group of people. And really, when you start to look at the context here, you can kind of get a better sense of that word. It says there in verse 19, "And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters." So he's describing the same group as a froward people, and he's saying, I'm calling them froward, and what I'm seeing from them is a provoking. And often, you know, that's what we would say of somebody who is willfully contrary, somebody who is froward. They are one who likes to provoke. They like to push the envelope. They like to see how close to the line they can get. Makes them, not easily managed. He said in verse 20, "And I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger." So we see that there's this provoking. It's a proactive provocation of God, of making him angry. That's what it means to be forward, to go against the grain, to be willfully contrary, to provoke against, you know, provoke an authority, so to speak. Another, you know, other terms that the Bible would use, and if you would go back to Proverbs chapter 4, you know, we talked about some of those terms this morning. Another way we could describe somebody that is forward is somebody who is stiff-necked, somebody who is hard-hearted, or somebody who is rebellious, or somebody who is stubborn. These are all also, you know, biblical terms that we could use to describe such people. The Bible uses those terms many times throughout Scripture. It says in Exodus chapter 32, the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. It's the same people that he's calling forward in Deuteronomy 32. In Exodus 32, he's saying they're stiff-necked. The Bible says in Job chapter 5, it says, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the forward is carried headlong. So being a crafty person and being a forward person are synonymous. Somebody who is crafty, mischievous, somebody who is provoking, somebody who is what? Willfully contrary, not easily managed. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. So obviously the antonym there in 1 Peter chapter 2 of good and gentle is forward, and vice versa. If you say, what's a forward person? Well, I can tell you what they're not. They're not good and gentle. In fact, some of the other synonyms that are given for this word forward are adverse, contrary, disobedient, insubmissive, obstinate, petulant, stubborn, and unyielding. And we've probably all known people and maybe even had masters, as the Bible calls them, or bosses that were this way. But really, hopefully we understand what this word means, and it's important that we do, because forwardness is not something that a trait that we want to exhibit, and also it's not a type of person that we want to be around. We should forsake forward people in our lives because they will have an effect on us, and their end is not good. If you look there in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, I want you to notice this idea of being led, of going in the way, of having a direction, of having a specific end in mind, okay? It says there in verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, and nor to the left, remove thy foot from evil. Saying, look, God wants you to look, let your eyes look right on, get your eyelids straight before you, to ponder the path of your feet, to consider, to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. God wants you to keep pointed in the right direction, and if you, part of maintaining that and doing that and going in that direction, is that you would put away from you a froward mouth, and you would put away from you perverse lips. And the reason why this is all, you know, that putting away of the froward mouth, that putting away of the perverse lips is related to this being led, to this pondering of the path, of keeping in the way. The way those two things are related is the fact that if you're somebody with a froward mouth, if you're somebody with perverse lips, you know, you are somebody who is contrary to the way that you ought to go. And also, you know, people that come into our lives that have froward mouths, that have perverse lips, they're interested in subverting us and getting us off the path that we ought to go. And I think, you know, I'm kind of taking a minute here in Proverbs chapter 4 also to kind of, you know, help us understand what this word means. Because again, it's a word that we don't use today. But, you know, and it's this verse here in verse 24 that I think does cause some confusion for people. People will think, well, froward mouth, that just means, you know, saying dirty things. Now, look, I'm not saying we should be saying dirty things, okay? But that's not what forward means. And the reason why they think that is because it says forward mouth and perverse lips. But we also have to understand that what perverse means in the Bible is not typically what we think of today. You know, perverse today, we would think of, oh, they talk dirty, they say filthy things, they say nasty things, they talk about perverted things, okay? But, you know, perverse is synonymous with that word forward. In fact, the definition of perverse and forward are very similar. Earlier we saw that forward was to be willfully contrary. You know, perverse means simply, this is the very first definition that comes up, willfully determined to be disposed or to go counter to what is expected or desire, contrary. So you can see why the Bible is using the word forward and perverse in the same context, in the same that they're synonymous, they can be interchanged with one another. It's because they both mean the same thing. To be froward is to have perverse lips. It means you are somebody who is determined, somebody who is disposed to go counter to what is expected or what is desired of you. You are what? A contrary person. You are willfully contrary. That's what it means to be a froward person. That's what it means to have perverse lips according to the Scripture. It's referring to the fact that people insist on going wayward. They are obstinate in what is wrong. They want to do what is wrong. They want to go against the grain. They want to turn away or reject what is right, good, proper. They are wicked or corrupt. That's what it means to be perverse. That's what it means to be forward. And again, Proverbs chapter 4 is great. It gives us a deeper understanding of what it means to be forward, not just because of the use of the two words forward and perverse, but also because it's showing us in the context, it's about going against, you know, the direction we ought to go. If you're a forward person, you know, you're somebody who wants to go against the direction, that it's going to go against the guidance, against the advice, against the wisdom that is guiding you or ought to be guiding you and leading you, whether it's, you know, in the Word of God or through the preaching of the Word of God or through the authorities that are in your life. And this is why we need to forsake forwardness, not only in our own lives, but also when we perceive in other people that they are forward, they also should be forsaken. We should not make friends with forward people. Go to Proverbs chapter 16. We're going to be in Proverbs a lot tonight because, as I said at the beginning, this is a word that's used multiple times throughout Proverbs. And Proverbs is a great book, especially for people who are starting out in life. You know, it was advice that I was given, advice I took, and it's advice that I'm giving you now, especially to the young people in the room. You should read Proverbs every day. Not the whole book. Let me clarify. But you should probably read a chapter of Proverbs every day. I think that people would, you know, adults and young people alike would benefit greatly from that. Because Proverbs is a book that teaches us so much about life and about wisdom, about the pitfalls of life, of what to avoid, or what to seek after. There's so many great truths in the book of Proverbs. And you know what? And there's 31 chapters. So, you know, if you read one chapter a day, you know, you'll read it about once a month. It works out. But again, we're going to be there in a lot tonight because it does warn us a lot about forward people. And what we find about forward people is that they're contrary, that they like going against the system, that they're perverse, that they're determined to go counter to what is expected of them, that they are what we would call today, you know, troublemakers, people who are troublemakers. We should forsake people who are forward because of the fact that they are only interested in causing trouble. The Bible says, if you're there in Proverbs chapter 16 and look at verse 27, it says, an ungodly man diggeth up evil. You know, ungodly people, they don't just stumble into evil. You know, wicked people aren't just, you know, mindlessly going through life doing bad things. Look, they're digging it up, the Bible says. I don't know about you, but I've never found myself accidentally digging. You know, if I'm ever digging, you know, it's a very purposeful act. You know, you went and thought about what kind of shovel I'm going to use. Am I going to use a flat shovel, a spade shovel? You know, am I digging down into the earth? Am I scooping something? You know, it's a very deliberate act to dig something, isn't it? You think about where you're going to dig. You're going to think about what you're digging for, how far you're going to go. And the Bible says that ungodly men diggeth up evil. If there's no evil on the surface, so they can't just easily access it, they say, well, I want evil. I'm a forward person. I'm contrary. I'm rebellious. I'm going to go find the evil, even if it's buried. I'll go digging for it. I don't care how hard it is to get to. I'm going to go and find evil. That's what an ungodly man does. It says, and in his lips there is a burning fire. A forward man soweth strife, a whisperer separateth chief friends. So notice here, you know, that the ungodly man, the forward man, they go looking for trouble. They dig up the evil. They sow the strife. They say, I'm going to go do this, and you know what? And nothing good is going to come of it, but I don't care because that's just what I do. It's what I'm disposed to do. I'm disposed to doing things contrary to what is expected. I'm going to go ahead and sow the strife because I'm a froward man. And notice he says there in Proverbs 16, verse 27, in his lips there is as a burning fire. It's their lips. And you'll see this time and time again when it comes to this topic of froward, that it's the mouth, it's the tongue that they use. They use their words in a froward way. Go to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. The Bible says in Proverbs 10, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. They know what is acceptable, what can be said, what should be said, what is proper, what is right. But the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. They know, let me say this, this will be an encouragement. Let me give this instruction. Let me give this godly advice. Let me give this wisdom. Let me tell you what is right. Whereas the mouth of the wicked is going to speak only frowardness. They're going to say, let me tell you how to do wrong. Let me tell you how to rebel. Let me tell you why you shouldn't go along, why you should be contrary. That's what the mouth of the wicked does. This is how they dig up their evil. It's with their mouth. Proverbs 17, look at verse 9. He says, he that loveth transgression loveth strife, and he that exalteth his gate seeketh destruction. You know, there's some people out there, they love transgression. You know, some of us are scratching our heads saying, why would anybody love transgression? Why would anybody love sin and iniquity? Why would anyone love, you know, being a grief to God? Why would anybody love those things? But the Bible says they're out there. They love transgression. They love strife. And notice verse 20, he that hath a froward heart findeth no good. And he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. Again, there's that froward and perverse being used in the same verse. And he's saying of these people with a froward heart, these people with perverse tongues, that they find no good and that they fall into mischief. You know why the froward finds no good? Do you know why the perverse tongue falls into mischief? Because they're not interested in that which is good. That's what they're into. They don't want to find anything good. They despise that which is good. They love that which is evil. They love the transgression. You know what? That's why they get what they get. Because whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. They dig up the evil. And look, they want to bring people with them. You know, misery loves company. You know, if I know I'm doing wrong, it's going to make me feel better about what I'm doing if I can get you to do it with me. If I can get somebody, if I can get a crowd, then I can say, well, now I don't feel so bad because there's more people that are helping me do it. Maybe it's not so bad. And as a result, what froward people do is they subvert other people. They're subversive. They intend to overthrow or destroy or undermine an established or existing system. They'll say, oh, don't listen to your parents. They're just old fuddy-duddies. Oh, don't go to that church. They just want you to be a little goody-two-shoes. Oh, they just want to get you on the straight and narrow. They just want you to live for God, whatever that means. And what they're doing, what the froward is doing with his mouth, with his perverse lips, is he's undermining the righteous. He's undermining what your parents have instilled in you. He's undermining what the church has been teaching you. He's undermining what the Word of God instructs you. That's what the froward do. They subvert. You know, why would anybody do that? Because they're evil. Because they're evil. Evil is a reality in this world. And no one likes to admit that maybe they're the evil one. No one likes to admit that maybe the crowd they're running with is an evil crowd. But look, somebody's got to be them, and somebody's got to run with them, don't they? Because they're out there. And what the evil people do is they subvert the good. Look at Proverbs. You should have gone to Proverbs 2. Go there quickly, if you would. Proverbs chapter number 2. Again, we'll be in Proverbs all night. Proverbs chapter 2, I'll begin reading in verse 10. It says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Look, it's not just enough to know what the Bible says. It's not, you know, you're not going to have, the discretion is not going to preserve you. The understanding is not going to keep you just because you read it or you heard it. It's when wisdom has entered in thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. When you start to love the knowledge of God, when you start to love the things of the Bible, when you start to love the things that are righteous and godly and good, that's when discretion is going to preserve you and keep you from the evil. That's what he says. He's saying, look, when wisdom entereth in thine heart and knowledge is pleasant in thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. To do what? To deliver thee, it says in verse 12, from the way of the evil man. From the man that speaketh what? Froward things. When you start to love the things of God, love the instruction of the Word of God, when you start to love the things that you've been taught out of the Word of God, you know, when you start to delight in those things, those are the things that are going to deliver you from the evil people, the evil man who is going to what? Speak forward things. Who's going to get your ear and say, it's just a little sin. You don't need to listen to them. Everybody's doing it. You know, when you love the things, you'll hear that. You say, no, I'm not going to do that. Because I love righteousness. I love the things. These things are the things that are pleasant unto me, not sin and iniquity. And then these things shall preserve you. But if you don't love these things, look, if you don't love this book, if you don't love the preaching of this book, it's only a matter of time until the froward and evil man gets a hold of your ear long enough and gets you off the path and gets you into, you know, hey, grab this shovel, let's dig up some evil. That's what it means to be froward, willfully contrary, not easily managed. Because they're rebellious. Forward people, they are troublemakers. Forward people, they are contrary, rebellious people. And I know I talked about it this morning. And we live in a world that just glorifies rebellion. And we looked at it this morning that, as the Bible says elsewhere, you know, rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. It's wicked. It's not something to be glorified, not something to be sought after. Go to Proverbs chapter 6. Excuse me, Proverbs chapter number 6. You know, forward people are contrary, rebellious people. And you would think, you know, the forward person would just be so obvious. You could just see what they do and how they live and what they're about and what they love. And you just say, well, you're froward. Why would anybody fall for that? Well, it's because they're subtle. They don't just come out and say, hey, let's go and just rebel against God and everybody else. Let's just go dig up some evil. Let's just go be wicked, froward, perverse people. They're subtle. It says in verse 12, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. And notice how he instructs. It says, he winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. You know, whenever I think about that, I always think of that, you know, the evil guy who's just kind of twiddling his fingers, you know, just kind of, and he's kind of winking at you. Kind of like he knows something you don't know. It's a suggestive type of thing. Look, he's very subtle, isn't he? He's not just coming out and saying it. He's speaking with his feet. You know, the forward, they'll show you how to get into sin. You know, they're not going to say, hey, let's go do this or this, that. They'll just say, hey, let's go over here and do this. Watch what I do. They'll teach with their fingers. Look how I do this. Look how easily I can sin. And that's how they teach and that's how they instruct, because they're subtle. Forwardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. You know, and people will see that and think, well, what's that's not so bad. But verse 15, look at that. It says, therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. You know, people that are going to be swift to run to evil, those that are going to have forwardness in their mouth, that are going to devise mischief, that are going to sow discord, the Bible says that they will be destroyed. You run with the wrong crowd long enough, you know, it's only a matter of time until some tragedy comes into your life. And hopefully you're not going to just, you know, be collateral damage. You know, a great example of somebody who was very contrary and rebellious and forward, and yet at the same time very subtle, is Satan. I mean, think about the example of Eve. You know, he wanted to get her to eat of that, you know, forbidden fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know, he came to her as a serpent, and the Bible describes a serpent as the most subtle of all the beasts of the field. You know, it doesn't say that he slithered up her leg and around her neck and choked her out and then stuffed an apple in her mouth. That wouldn't have been very subtle. What he did is he used his words. And he said, look, it's pleasant to the eyes. It'll make you wise. God knows that you need to eat the day thereof, that you shall be as gods. He used his words and he lied and he deceived and he got her to fall. And this is why forward people should be avoided. Look, people that are good at getting into trouble and getting into sin, they know how to get other people into it very subtly. They know how to make, you know, they tell you what they're intending to do, and it sounds like such a bad idea because it is, but they know how to sell it and tell it to you just so you're thinking, well, maybe that isn't so bad. Maybe we could get away with it. That's why they should be avoided. Go to Proverbs 22, excuse me. This is what David said about the forward person. He said, a froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. And of course, we know David was a very godly and righteous man. And part of the reason why David was able to have such a great reputation is because of the fact that he did not surround himself with froward and wicked people. He said, I'm not going to know a wicked person. It says in Proverbs 8, my mouth shall speak truth. The wickedness is an abomination. Wickedness is an abomination in my lips. All the words of my mouth are unrighteous, that there is nothing forward or perverse in them. That ought to be all of our testimony. It says there in Proverbs 22, verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Amen. You know, fearing God is a blessing. Amen. You know, the Bible says that His commandments are not grievous. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Bible says that the way of the transgressor is hard. The Bible says, you know, there's pleasure in sin for a season. You know, but when lust hath conceived, you know, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it's finished bringeth forth death. But forward people have they're really good at making sin just look so good, and they are so good at just, you know, forgetting to remind you of all the potential consequences that could permanently, you know, affect your life. They don't mention all that up front. That's not how the devil works. And then what they're really good at doing is just making, you know, living for the Lord just look like some, you know, just drudgery that has to be endured. That it's just for, you know, church people, whatever that means. But the Bible says that by humility and the fear of the Lord are what? Riches and honor and life. Now, it's not saying all these things are guaranteed. You know, I'm still waiting on the riches thing. Probably never going to come. But you know, as far as honor, you know, if I can get to the end of my life and have lived a life of honor with a good reputation, you know, I'll take it. Rather than get to the end of my life and just look back and look at a wasted life full of sin and iniquity and frowardness and perverseness and mischief and just heartache after heartache after heartache after heartache. The Bible says in verse 5 of Proverbs 22 where you are, thorns and snares are in the way of the forward. You want to know what's ahead of forward people? Thorns and snares. I don't know about you, but when I go for a walk, I don't try to find, you know, the bush with all the thorns on it. So I'm going to walk through that. And look, this is something we know a little bit about here in Arizona. We know about thorns, don't we? And we go on our hikes, you know, we're looking out for thorns, not so we can step in them, so we can avoid them. And if you saw some guy just running headlong into a cactus and just jumping into it, you say, guy's an idiot. You're a moron. And look, there's people out there that do it. I've seen the videos. They throw themselves into cactuses to get a hit, you know, to get, you know, more hits on YouTube or whatever. It's like, I hope it was worth it. I'd be picking those things out for a month. And we would look at somebody that would do that, and you'd say, what's wrong with them? That's a natural reaction. But you know what? Spiritually, that's exactly what forward people are doing. People that are just contrary, people that are just rebellious, people that just want to go against what's expected of them, you know what? All that's ahead of them are thorns and snares. Thorns and snares. It's just going to be scratches and bleeding and bruising. And, you know, that's the thorns. And then the snare is like, is a trap. That's what it's talking about. That's what's in the way of the forward, a snare. You know, you get into sin long enough, and eventually, when the bill comes due, you know what you're going to have around your ankle is a snare. And then you go, well, this isn't what I want anymore. Yeah, it's too late now. You're snared though, but now you're snared. But now you've got that snare holding you back from doing what you would otherwise do. He says that thorns and snares are in the way of the forward. But notice how it ends. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. I don't know about you, but I want to be as far away from thorns and snares in my life as I can. So what are you doing in Arizona then? Well, I'm speaking about the spiritual application here, okay? He's saying, look, the guy that avoids the forward person, the person that has the humility, that isn't filled with pride, the person that fears God is going to be far away from the thorns and snares. They're going to be looking over there and seeing somebody just, you know, running through the bramble bush and just getting all scratched up, watching Satan put a little snare around their leg and say, but I'm glad that's not me. You're not going to be sitting there going, yeah, but they had so much more fun than I did. Yeah, but they got into so much more, they had so much more pleasure in sin for some. You're not going to, that's not what you're going to think. You're going to think, man, I'm glad I didn't go down that road. Glad I got away from that person. Glad I got away from that crowd. Glad I quit running with that crowd because you know they're running through thorns. They've got snares, but you know what? I'm far from them. But who is it that's going to be far from them? It's not the froward. It's the people that have the humility and they have the fear of the Lord. You see, froward people, they think that they're going to go unpunished in life. They think they can just live however they want, do whatever they want, and never suffer the consequences for it. Go to Proverbs chapter 11. The Bible says otherwise. In fact, you know, and this is even true for with God's people. Christians can get this attitude too. They can be saved. You know, they believed on Christ. They're on their way to heaven. When they think, you know, I've got my fire escape. You know, I'm not going to hell. I got my ticket punched. I'm on my way. But, you know, I can live however I want. And you know what? That's true. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We understand that. That you're not going to heaven based on how good of a person you are, because no one's good enough. We're going through the shed blood of Christ and through our faith in Him alone. That's it. So yeah, you can put your faith in Christ and be going to heaven no matter what and live however you want. And we get criticized for saying that so often, but that's what the Bible clearly teaches. I'm not going to take the time to develop it. But what people misconstrue that is that what we're saying is that you can live however you want and not have any consequences. That's not what I said. And that's not what the Bible teaches. You can live however you want and go to heaven, but you know what? You will suffer the consequences every step of the way on the way there. So, you know what? You can be saved and be on your way to heaven, but your whole way there can be thorns and snares all the way to heaven. Or it can be riches and honor and life. You know, and here's what, you know, Christians need to understand is that God isn't passive. God doesn't just sit back and let His children do whatever they want. I mean, He'll let them do what they want, and then He'll punish them for it. Just like our parent. You know, a good parent doesn't just let their kid just do whatever they want without consequences. You know, my kids don't get to just go home and start scribbling all over the walls. You know, if they did, there's going to be consequences. The Bible says, with the pure thou wilt show thyself pure. Speaking of God, and this is David, and he said, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself unsavory. It's real interesting how he uses that word, unsavory. You know, if you're a froward person, you're not going to like God very much. Because God's not going to be very good to you. God's going to punish you. God's going to deal with you. God's going to say, okay, thorns and thistles, snares. You're going to be found fighting against God. And that's what froward people do. That's what it means to be froward, folks, to be contrary. To be willfully contrary, and not just to your parents, but to even God Himself. Not to just some establishment or government or laws or rules, but even when it comes to God. Forward people, they'll fight God. You know what? Go ahead and do that. Go ahead and do that. And you know what? You're gonna describe God as unsavory. That's gonna be putting it lightly. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, the forward is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. God looks down and sees forward people and says, you're an abomination to me. What does it mean to be an abomination? It means to be something that God hates and detests. You know, and we're taught today, oh, God loves everybody and everything. That's not the Bible, folks. It says right there in Proverbs 3, the forward is an abomination to the Lord. The Bible very clearly teaches that some people and some things that they do are an abomination to God. Look, there's some things that I don't like, but there's, you know, just just in my personal life, I don't know that there's anything that I would describe as an abomination to me. You know, just to kind of illustrate this point, you know, I don't like black olives. And green olives aren't far behind. You know, right, Karen? She knows. She watched me choke down those olives in that salad at Olive Garden. Why would a guy who doesn't like olives go to Olive Garden? I'll tell you why. The shrimp scampi. Okay, it's excellent. And those free breadsticks, love them. But you know what I don't like is olives. I eat them anyway, just to prove a point. But you know, as much as I don't like olives, you know what I would never do is pick up an olive and go, you're an abomination to me. Because that's very strong language, isn't it? Do you like olives? They're an abomination. Right? We might say that jokingly, but you don't really mean that. Right? Now, there are some things and people that I consider an abomination, just like there are some things and some people that God considers an abomination. And in Proverbs 3, he's describing very clearly that forward people are an abomination. It's not that he just dislikes them or has a distaste for them or doesn't prefer them. He says, I hate them to the point where they're an abomination to me. It's a very strong disgust. And it's saying the Lord. They are an abomination to the Lord. Oh, forward people are just an abomination to, you know, church people. No, they're an abomination to God, to the Lord. But his secret is with the righteous. The Bible says in Proverbs 8, I'll read to you, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy in the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. Proverbs chapter 10, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. I mean, that's very strong language. Saying, look, what's he saying? The froward tongue, the one who devises mischief, who subtly, you know, subverts other people and tries to get other people to go along and be contrary. He says that same tongue that works all that evil is going to be cut out. Meaning God's going to judge him. Look at Proverbs 11, verse 20. They that are a froward heart are an abomination to the Lord. Oh, I just read that. Oh, wait, no, the Bible's repeating itself. Must be God's trying to get a message across to us when he's repeating things in the Bible. They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in the way are his delight. So there's this path that's laid out before us in life. There's two options. There's this fork in the road. You can have a froward heart and be an abomination to the Lord, or you can live upright in a way that's pleasing unto him, and God will actually delight in you. I don't know about you, but delight sounds pretty good. I'd rather have God looking down on my life and saying, you know what, I delight, I appreciate what you're doing. You're not an abomination to me. I love you, I want to bless you, I want to delight in you. I want to guide you, and I want to lead you. That's what I want for my life. But you know what that takes? Being upright in the way. Doing what's right and not being a forward person. You know, so you don't want to be a forward person, then you need to avoid forward influences in your life. And again, they're very subtle. Go to Proverbs 14. That's where we're going to close. You know, one forward influence in our lives that we should avoid is the media in all its different forms. This culture that has just been preaching rebellion for decades now. I mean, going back to the 50s, 60s, where it's just, you know, free love and you know, going against the system, fighting the man. You know, that's all by design. That's all satanic. That's what, you know, it's, and it hasn't changed. And I'd imagine all the you know, the hip hop and the gangster rap that's out there, and all the rock and roll and the R&B and everything else, I'm pretty sure they're not singing Bible, they're not singing the Psalms, are they? They're not. Are they praising the Lord? Are they talking about how you should live a clean life and a godly life? You know, it's been a while since I've heard any, but I have to guess they're probably glorifying violence and fornication and drug use. Is that a stretch for me to say that? You know, I haven't kept up on a lot of it, but every now and then I see it, and it's like, good night. Nothing's changed. It's gotten worse. You know, that's a major influence on people. And what it's forwardness. It's perverseness. That's all it is. In the music, in the movies, where they're just blaspheming God, where they're just, you know, just teaching to just do whatever you want, whatever feels good, don't worry about it, drink, do drugs, fornicate. That's a major influence on people. You know what? We should forsake that influence. Well, it just doesn't sound so much fun. What, just reading the Bible. You know what doesn't sound fun? Thorns and snares. And look, young people are so short-sighted, they can't see it. They can't see where these paths lead a lot of times. Because, you know, and that's how the devil, you know, paints the path. Like, he holds up, he's like that, you know, he's like Wile E. Coyote. Probably, does anyone know who I'm talking about? Wile E. Coyote from Looney Tunes. He's always trying to catch a roadrunner. You know, so he'd paint, you know, the tunnel on the rock, hoping the roadrunner would just smash right into it. You know, what was the point? He's deceiving him. He's saying, oh, look, the way is clear. It's a clear path. There's a nice tunnel. It's paved, just full speed. Go ahead. You know, but obviously the roadrunner was smarter than that. But that's how the devil works with us. That's how the devil works with young people. So, oh, don't listen to that old preacher. Don't listen to your parents. Don't listen to what that guy's saying. Don't listen to what the Bible has to say. Look, it's a clear path. That's the devil talking. You know, and when you smash up against that wall, when sin finally runs its course with you, then you'll go, oh, yeah, I guess I should have listened. Yeah, well, now you've got a concussion or whatever. Now your nose is broken. You got two black eyes. Like, oh, now I'll listen. Yeah, well, hopefully that heals up for you, and I'm glad you're listening. But, you know, it would be a whole lot better to just listen now to what the Bible's already saying to you. That forwardness is an abomination. That God is going to judge the forward person, that he's going to cut the forward tongue out. And just start avoiding these forward influences in your life. They do not have your best interest in mind. You know why they sing about what they sing about? You know why they show you what they show you? Because it sells. That's it. Not because they're trying to make us a morally superior culture. It's because that's what sells. You know, and that's how you got to look at them, is, you know, all they see you as is a big wallet, just a dollar sign. You know, that's what all the record companies and Hollywood, that's how they see you. Just a big dollar sign. Because no one's going to pay for this. And that's what, you know, but that's not why it's free. It's free for other reasons. No one's going to pay to download this sermon. The moguls in Hollywood aren't going to get a hold of this and say, oh yeah, we could sell that to the masses. No, what do they want to sell? Well, we know what they want to sell, don't we? It's forwardness is what it is. You know, so that's one influence. The other influence, though, really, that I don't think a lot of people consider is their friendships and how they affect us. Forward people will have an effect on you. And look, forward people are very subtle. And sometimes forward people, they don't even know they're forward. Listen, if you have somebody in your life who's trying to influence you to not listen to your parents, to not listen to the Word of God, to not listen to the preaching of the Word of God, to go contrary to what you've been taught, that is a forward person that you need to cut out of your life. Because they will drag you down. And there's this concept throughout Scripture where, you know, the bad always make the good bad. You know, why did God say, look, tell the children of Israel, don't marry the heathen. In fact, drive the heathen out of the land that I give you. Because he knew that the heathen would just make them bad. But, you know, Christians so often think, well, I'll just make them better. It's not going to work that way. Because, look, the bad have no interest in getting good and being better. They don't. They want to just dig up evil. They just delight in mischief. You know, they don't sleep unless they cause others to fall. You know, and they're just playing you. That's all they're doing. So cut them out. Look there in Proverbs 14. Did I have you go there? I'll read to you from Proverbs 22 if you haven't gone there. Go to Proverbs 14. It says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. You know, there's some people you shouldn't hang around. Why? Because you learn their ways. That's what it says in verse 25. Lest thou learn his ways, and there it is again, and get a snare to thy soul. Our friendships have a profound influence on our lives. They make a huge impact on what kind of people we're going to be. You know, show me your friends and I'll show you where you're headed. Show me the people you hang around and I'll show you where you're going to be. Look at Proverbs 14, verse 7. It says, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. When you know, fools should be avoided like the plague. And look, Proverbs, this is what I'm telling you guys, read Proverbs because there's too much to cover in one sermon. The Bible says it'd be better to meet a bear robbed of her whelps than a fool in his folly. That's what the Bible says. It'd be better for you to run into that mama bear who's looking for her cubs. And everyone knows that's not the bear you want to run into. That's the most dangerous bear there is. When you get between the cub and the mama bear, it's time to say your prayer. Your last prayer. Because she's coming for you. But the Bible's saying, look, it would be better for you to run into that than to run into a fool in his folly. Than to get snared with a fool and run with a fool. You should go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceiveth not in him the lips of knowledge. He doesn't say, oh, just hang out, you know, just kind of see what they have to say. I'm not going to get too involved. No, it says you need to go. You need to leave them. You need to forsake them. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. It's deceit. And look, I know this isn't a popular message. And people might even be hearing it and sitting out there and thinking, he's just rattling his cage. Oh, just some old-fashioned Baptist preacher talking about how bad sin is. Look at verse 9. It says, fools make a mock at sin. They mock at it. Oh, don't listen to them. It's not so bad. What's the worst that could happen? It's just a little sin. You know, that's mocking sin. The Bible says if that's your attitude, you're a fool. That's the way a fool talks. But among the righteous, there is favor. Fools make a mock of sin, but among the righteous, there is favor. We need to go from the presence of forward people. We need to forsake the forward because they're very subtle. And they're troublemakers, and they're people that want to just drag others down with them. They're going to get us a snare if we're not careful. Because think about this, and I'll close with this thought. You know, forwardness, rebellion, anger, foolishness, these are things that are learned in life. I mean, I know we all are sinners by birth, and we all have a proclivity to sin that we'll do wrong just naturally. But, you know, some people practice sin, and they get good at it. And they know how to get others involved. You know, there's certain things that are learned, which means this, that they're taught. You can't learn anything if it's not taught, folks. And the forward mouth just wants to teach you evil. That's all they're there to do, because that's all they delighted in. Because that's what it means to be forward. To be somebody who's willingly contrary. To be somebody who is rebellious. And delights in it. That's what it means to be forward. And that's the person that is going to teach you how to get into sin and how to be just like them. And that's why we need to forsake the forward. Let's go ahead and pray.